if you're limited on time, like increasing intensity, shortening the rest periods, like that's going to, you're going to get the most bang for your buck there. And, you know, if we go to the physiological side of things and all that, like why that is, it's like there's hormonal adaptations that are related to that. And when you're doing like zone one, zone two work, that's really only going to be beneficial if you do it after a certain period, like in a certain time domain. And that's usually,
you have to get like above a certain threshold for actually make it worthwhile.
Basically. Exactly. Like you yeah. can't get like 15 minutes. Like you can't get much out of zone two, right? Like most of the time you're not going to get, there's, you know, certain rules and all that stuff, but general statement, you can't get much of it. But if you do like a 15 minute EMOM of like one heavy bench or squat or whatever with a certain, at a certain intensity with a certain amount of rest, like every 3 minutes or something like that, you could get something out of it, a lot more out of it in terms of like strength and all type of adaptations.
The fitness movement is brought to you by Zor Fitness. We offer coaching and individualized program design, as well as educational content for coaches and athletes. It's all at one place, zorfitness.com. You look to be a little bit more prepared than Chris.
Yeah.
Chris is so off the cuff.
He's good at it, though. You know,
yeah.
I wouldn't be able to.
I can do it when I'm doing it with him, but if I'm by myself, there's absolutely no chance.
Yeah, he's good to like bounce things off of, because he'll go and you just like, you'll get ideas from him.
Yep.
Like he'll carry the conversation. You just got to add in.
Yeah. That's how my wife is, Brooke. She, it's funny because like I don't really care to talk to people I don't know a lot of the time. Like I hate small talking.
Oh, so, I like, do too.
Somebody will ask me something, like we're at like some like social function, and I'll like sit there and wait for like, you know, 5 seconds, and like her tolerance of that is just like so zero that she'll like answer for me, which is great because then I don't have to answer when I didn't want to in the first place.
That's the perfect situation in a relationship.
So they'll like ask us something and we'll be sitting there and then she'll just answer. I'm like, this is great.
Yeah.
Literally perfect.
I hate small talk.
Like, I'm like, this is so pointless. Like you actually don't care about my life, and I'm also not going to talk to you again for a very long time.
Exactly. Yeah. So. It's kind of like, I feel like it's a waste of breath in a way. As horrible as that sounds, I'm like,
you good?
I'm good.
All right. So today we kind of want to sit down and talk about athletes with tight time schedules, or just people with tight, you know, windows to train, essentially, where they've got busy lives outside of that, where the amount of time that they have in the gym is just finite. So it's like, what can you do to make the most of it? And then I figured we can kind of speak from our personal experience, because, you know, both of us have quite a few things going on where we don't have infinite time to train. And I guess nobody does, but, you know, neither of us are like full-time athletes or whatever, right? So it's a lot more constraints on what we're doing. So I figured we could talk from personal experience, and then also like working with our athletes, like what's worked well for people who just have, you know, a crunch when there's time to work out. So first thing that came to my mind was, well, can we get you more time to train? Which I feel like everyone would just want to go to like right to the meat and potatoes of like, what can I actually do to make this as like efficient as possible? Do I need to do HIIT training, or do I need to do this or that? And I think like the reality is, if you can make it a little bit more, I mean, if you can just be honest and like, I can allot a little bit more time to this, it'll probably go a lot better. So anyway, I think that's maybe where most people could start, was just like, okay, let's actually examine the rest of your day and see if you have more time somewhere else.
Yeah. And I think that's a good way to start, because most of the time people have, you know, they could allot more time based on their schedule. And not saying that everyone has a ton of free time, but if you're not paying attention to what you're doing, you realize you're actually wasting a lot of time doing little things. And if you're prioritizing fitness, working out, whatever it is, like, you'll realize you could fit it in here and there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think like you have time for what you make time for.
Right.
So if you have time to work 12 hours because like you're super into your career, like just realize that like that's what you're spending your time on. And then like, okay, maybe fitness is like lower on your priorities list, but like exactly where is it? Because like that's what you need to figure out. It's like where should my health and my fitness be on my list of priorities? And that's not necessarily a right or wrong answer, but I think people need to be honest with themselves and like, okay, this is where it's actually at. And it's actually a lot lower than I realized. And if I do actually care about my, you know, performance or just like my health or like how I look, like I'm going to have to make some changes.
Yeah, exactly. And what I've realized is a lot of people are able to make those changes pretty cool. Like they're able to do it in the beginning and they could stick to it for a little bit, but now it's like, all right, how sustainable is it? Because you'll notice like it'll fall off after a time. And that's where like people get burnt out, and you see this in all realms of fitness, whether it's like CrossFit, bodybuilding, powerlifting, whatever. They're gung-ho in the beginning. They're like, oh, yeah, I could find time here. If I wake up at this time, blah, 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 and they have this nice schedule. You
probably get that a lot as a coach.
Yeah, exactly, right? And you're just like,
I can do 12 sessions a weekday.
Exactly. And then you're just like, okay, but we're not going to start with 12 because I know how this is going to end up, right? Yeah. So it's like people are really into it at first and able to make it work and like their schedule allows for it, but it's not sustainable over time for XYZ. They're not accustomed to that. They haven't really, it was a priority and then it slowly moves down the list. Life comes up, all those different things.
Yeah, I think part of that is just the recovery demands. Like if you have a stressful job and it's impacting your sleep and you're not eating well, because you're not really focused on the physical health as much. And then it's like, okay, I'm going to squeeze this exercise in here. It's only adding to like your total amount of stress that you have available to you to like kind of handle in a day. And then when you're spilling over all the time, that just adds up and accumulates and you're like super tired. And you're like, okay, I have to sleep in today.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to die.
Right.
Like, so yeah, again, I think that just comes down to like, you can only put so much on your plate until you got to take other stuff off. And I think that applies to people, whether they're, you know, working professionals who are trying to optimize for that, or an athlete who is just trying to get as good as they can at just like doing their sport.
Right. Right. And you'll see that like it, like you were saying, all the stress adds up and like people don't realize it until they crash and burn. That's when they realize it. Right.
Yeah, so like, I can't keep doing this.
Yeah. Like physically crash and burn, emotionally, their relationships get ruined, all these different factors in their life. And they're like, oh, this probably isn't good.
This isn't working.
Anymore. Yeah.
Yep. And yes, occasionally that'll happen where like the athlete isn't really, if this is somebody that I'm coaching, for example, it's like sometimes those conversations happen and it's like, you're not even a part of them, which isn't good.
Yeah.
Like the ideal scenario is like, you're able to dialogue with the athlete and like have a handle on like where they're actually at in the recovery state. And 98% of the time that that's happened, it's been the athlete's fault where it's like, they just don't communicate with that to me.
Yeah.
Like they didn't tell me that.
Yeah.
And like and they didn't enter their feedback, or they didn't enter their sleep hours, or they didn't enter their HRV score. So I have no clue. I'm just blind.
Yeah.
So it's like, I think a lot of that responsibility comes back onto the athlete, in my opinion.
Right. I agree with that as well. It's kind of like, you're not, especially with like remote coaching, you're not there with them all the time. You don't see them all the time.
Yeah.
So it's like, how are you supposed to know how they're sleeping and all this stuff? And that's why like the weekly check-ins are super important. Cause like, you know, I
do your weekly check-ins.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, wherever the camera is, do your weekly check-ins. Because that's what we look at. It's like, oh wow, they're typically at a, on a scale of 1 to 5, they're at a 2 stress level. Their stress level's on the lower side, and then over the past 2 weeks, it's been at a 4 or 5. That's unusual. And I noticed that their resting heart rate is also high too, huh? Like all these things are now connecting, and they're not hitting the numbers and the intensity that we need them to hit. Oh, okay. Now we know, like, something's up there, right? And we start putting the pieces together. But without that information, we really can't do that.
Yeah, for sure. So, again, I'm a big proponent of, like, athletes need to take responsibility for their journey. And a coach can only be as useful as you, like, put the effort into the coach to, like, give them what they need to do their job well.
Right.
Not that there's not bad coaches, because there's always, you know, exceptions to the rule. But if you're a smart athlete who's taken the time to pick the right coach, and you hired Day, she's going to do a great job. So you just need to be, do your part, I guess, is what I'm saying. Next point here was, in my mind, and maybe you disagree with me, is that like, okay, if someone's like low on time, one of the best things they could do, in my opinion, is something that's like higher intensity because the time is just going to be shorter.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you try to do like you know, you exclusively do zone one and zone two training,
yeah,
you're just going to have to be on like a bike or like a row or something for like hours and hours a week. Unless you just like listen to a podcast or like make that useful, the time you're actually there is just going to be way more compared to if you did like, you know, even like an average kind of CrossFit type class that you would see.
Right. I agree with that. I 100% agree with that. It's like, if you're limited on time, like increasing intensity, shortening the rest periods, like you're going to get the most bang for your buck there. And, you know, if we go to the physiological side of things and all that, like why that is, it's like there's hormonal adaptations that are related to that. And when you're doing like zone one, zone two work, that's really only going to be beneficial if you do it after a certain period, like in a certain time domain. And that's usually,
you just get like above a certain threshold for it actually make it worthwhile.
Basically. Exactly. Like you can't get like 15 minutes, like you can't get much out of zone two, right? Like most of the time you're not going to get, there's, you know, certain rules and all that stuff, but general statement, you can't get much of it. But if you do like a 15 minute EMOM of like one heavy bench or squat or whatever with a certain, at a certain intensity with a certain amount of rest, like every 3 minutes or something like that, you could get something out of it, a lot more out of it in terms of like strength and all type of adaptations.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. It would be like the equivalent of somebody doing like maybe they have scheduled like 4x8 back squat and they do like 4 sets of 4.
Yeah.
It's just like cutting it short. Like that would be the equivalent of like doing like 10 to 15 minutes of zone work.
It's like, right.
It's like, cool. You just like didn't get good adaptation at all.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't really worth your while.
Yeah. You did 4 reps out of like 50% of your back squat. Like you're not going to get much out of that.
Yeah, it's better but than it's nothing.
Good that you moved. Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah. Yeah,
better than nothing. So, yeah. So again, I'm not somebody who's like typically like dogmatic on like you have to be doing CrossFit, even though like I own a CrossFit gym and like I coach a lot of CrossFit athletes. So like, I think it's all gets so like convoluted because it's like if you start using other terms, then people just like assume other things. Like if I say HIIT, there's like a certain category of like person and like, you know, a facility that comes to people's mind or like workout type. But I think it's like a principle. That's actually a good principle to think about. Whereas like you're doing high work, relatively short rest, and doing that enough where like, yeah, power output's probably going to drop because it's not sustainable work. But that's maybe an okay sacrifice in the exchange for I can like do more in less time.
Right. Yeah. And that's like you said, like you say HIIT, you think of a certain type of
I think of like work. I don't know.
Like a boot camp.
Yeah, style. Like a 40-year-old woman in her yoga pants going to a studio and doing like 12 different circuits with her friends. And, judging her workout based on how sore she is the next day and how sweaty she was.
Right, exactly.
Again, that's not like wrong, but like, okay, we could probably be a little bit more informed about how we go about things. And
right.
Yeah. Again, that's okay if that's where people are at in their journey, but you don't want to be stuck in the same place your whole career, which a lot of people are.
Yeah, exactly. And like, I know when you say like EMOMs and all that, you think of like CrossFit, right? That's what most people like associate.
Yeah.
That type of acronym or AMRAP or something like that. But you could use that again in any type of setting, whether you're working with like professional athletes of a certain sport or, you know.
Yeah, do you use EMOMs in
your definitions? Yeah, stuff? For sure. You know, I have like an hour with certain teams and all that, and I'm trying to make the most of the hour.
Yeah.
And sometimes if you don't specify a time domain, then they're going to take 8 minutes of rest. And it's like, all right, well, we lost all type of adaptations that we could get. And I'm trying to like shorten rest periods, this and that, keep them on track mostly.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's limited time and trying to get the most out of it.
People who weightlift exclusively that I coach, I have other athletes that I coach who are, like, into, like youth sports, like people in track and field or soccer, things like that. Like, the work rest still matters a lot.
Yeah.
So if you can use tools to dictate how often they're doing a certain amount of work, you're going to get the adaptations you actually want as the coach rather than just, like, okay, let's see what a 14-year-old does when I say 5x5. How long are they going to rest?
Yeah.
Let's roll the dice. Like, exactly. Who knows? If they're having a great day, maybe they rest an appropriate amount of time, but chances are they're going to rest too much or too little. So it's like, I do that with our classes too. It's like, okay, we're going to do this strength work every 2.5 minutes. It's 5 reps. I know you're probably going to get at least 2 minutes of rest, and that's plenty, but no more than that, where we're wasting time that we don't have in a class environment.
Right. And that's another thing too with like a class, right? Because then you'll have like a range of people where they're taking too little, they're going too light, so then they don't need as much rest and they're like speeding through it. And then they're done waiting around for the next part. And then the other group where they're either going too heavy and need way too much rest, or they just like to take a lot of rest because they get distracted. Yeah, and then it's
the three guys on the rack on the end always take 6 minutes in between the working sets if you let them.
And then we're waiting on them, right? Yeah. The class. So it's having those intervals and all that to make sure everyone's on track is super helpful.
Yeah. So that honestly, if I was being really practical, and like we actually are trying to, we're on a time constraint. We've looked at the other factors and we don't have a lot of other factors in your life. We're like in a class environment or something. Okay. We're actually trying to condense the amount of time we have. Yeah. Putting it on a clock, I think, is the simplest thing. Like EMOM is every 90 seconds, every 2 minutes, and you're doing a certain amount of work in that time. You could make that strength, you could make that conditioning. There's like a million different things you could do with that format. But I think playing with that and using that as like your time stamps is, okay, I'm back on it and I need to do my next set or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, it keeps them locked in a little bit more. And another thing too, if you're always going to run into an athlete who is like, oh, damn, what set am I on? And if they're on a clock, they're able to do the math. Totally. They'll be like, oh, okay, that was set number 4 because I'm on this time or whatever. And it's just like, okay.
Yeah.
I found that that's been pretty useful a bit. When people lose count of what set they're on, and I'm like, I don't know, I'm paying attention to like 10 other people right now. I am not taking track of everyone's. Yeah.
And as a CrossFitter, I don't know why, but as soon as I turn the clock on, it's like everything else is like, it's like tunnel vision then.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, now I'm like in the thing and I'm focused.
Yeah.
It doesn't even have to be like, I don't even have to be on a clock, but if the clock's running in the background, I'm like, okay, like we're going.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know what that mentality is, but
it keeps you locked in. There is like a psychological part to it, I think. Like that's what I've noticed is when I put on a clock with my groups and all that, they tend to like, they'll stay seated. Like, let's say we're doing dumbbell bench press or something. They'll stay seated on the bench and they're locked in. They're holding the dumbbells. They're not walking around, grabbing water. We have like a little fuel station in the gym. So sometimes like they'll get up and grab like
SpongeBob.
Yeah, they'll grab water. They'll go to I call it bubbler. People say water fountain. I call it bubbler.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's like, I don't know. Every time I go somewhere, they're like bubbler, but it's a thing.
Is that a Boston thing?
I think so. I know it's in Massachusetts. Like, I grew up saying bubbler, and then I went to college, and people are like, no, what's a bubbler? Anyways, they'll go to the bubbler, or they'll go grab some, like, honey stingers in the middle of, like, their workout, and I'm like, what is happening? But if you have them, like, on a, like, an EMOM or something like that, a lot of times you prevent all those things, which is nice.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's nice to have the structure ahead of time, too, which I think is that's where some people go wrong, is that they walk into what's supposed to be a session and they're like, they have a blank slate and they're like, I don't know where to start.
Yeah.
And that's where obviously if you have like a coach that makes it really easy where you just, you know, hopefully you've looked at it beforehand where you already kind of have gone through and visualized in your head, like, okay, this is what my session sort of looks like. This is what I can sort of expect. This is where things will probably be challenging for me. This is where I really need to focus on these cues. You've already gone through that whole process. But even if you're someone who you just walk in and you boot up the spreadsheet and you look at it for the first time, it's like, it's still something there.
Yeah.
It's like a lot of people, they just don't have anything. It's like, okay, I kind of wanted to do this Metcon today, but my knees don't feel great. So what should I do? And they sit there for like 15 minutes to figure it out. And by the time that's like, they're just shot half the workout.
Yeah.
Time. So
it takes time. Like, I think it takes a lot of time when you're writing other people's workouts, your own workouts. Like, I know I spent all of my weekend. And like, I usually start programming like for the next following week for myself and my athletes and all that, like on Wednesday, Thursday of the previous week. Like, I'll start just because it takes so much time. And like, you have to think about it and you have to think about the layout of the gym. And like, yeah, if you have nagging knee pain, all right, well, how to navigate that, which we'll discuss that later. But like, all these different things, and it takes time and all that. And like, yeah, if you're just coming up with it on the spot when you get to the gym, like, I see the bench is open. I'll do some of that. And then I want to do this. And it's just, you're just eating away time where you could be actually productive.
It's, you're losing time, which you already, like in this situation, they have less of. And then it's also just like, you're not going to get an effective workout. Like chances are you're not going to push yourself in the ways that you need to be pushed if you're just coming up with it on the fly. I think there's maybe exceptions to that where people are just like, you know, maybe they've done that for like 15 years and they're like have very informed feel when they go into a, you know, they can walk into a commercial gym and they're trying to, you know, hit back and biceps on that day. Right. And like, that's what they've done for the last 15 years. And they might be able to like very, you know, effectively freestyle a workout like right. that. And there's probably other people in like the CrossFit space who can do a similar thing with like an EMOM or something. But right. I would say that's still not ideal.
Right. Definitely not ideal.
Ideal. You have like, you know, a structure in place and things that are planned out ahead of time. And then you just make tweaks to that as needed.
Right. I think the only time I would walk in the gym without like a set plan is like when I'm traveling and I go to like an Anytime Fitness or something.
Yeah, you
and
don't
I
just, know what's going to be there or whatever.
I have no idea what's going to be there. And I show up and it's more like I'm only here just to like move only because like, and for like my mental side of things, because like I haven't worked out in 2 days or something like that. And like, I just need to mentally do something. That's the, and I'll go in there and just do something. But other than that,
Let's see. Let's go through our sort of like favorite go-to like short time workouts.
Okay.
So for me, actually I have an example of one, but I'll kind of go through maybe what this would look like different times. So for me, like the time that I'm like short on time is in the mornings for me. Cause like I'll get up if I'm doing an AM session, it's I'll get up, I'll basically, you know, take 15, 20 minutes to actually wake up.
Yeah.
And then I'll walk to my garage and do my session. And typically I have like an hour before I need to get back inside and like get cleaned up, and Jax is going to wake up around that time. Mm-hmm. So, I have about an hour, and the reason I have about an hour is because the time I go to bed, right? If I would have moved my bedtime earlier, I could have more time than that. But for me, I don't want to sacrifice any more of the time with my son and my wife before I go to bed. Like I don't want to go to bed earlier. So that is what it is then. It's like, that's my sacrifice, is that I'm now limited to 1 hour in the morning, which is fine. I can do what I need to do. I just need to be effective with it. So for me, I'll basically use different timestamps in the workout to, again, make sure that like I'm on track for where I need to be. And typically when I'm actually doing different pieces, they're on EMOM every 2 minutes, every 3 minutes, or intervals of some kind that's like dictated work rests or like an AMRAP where I know how much time it's actually going to take versus like for time piece. So more like time priority work. So an example could be like, okay, from 0 to 20 minutes, I'm going to do some aerobic work and some squat prep. At the 20 minute mark, I need to start my first set of front squats. I'm going to do, you know, every 4 minutes times 5 sets. I'm going to do, you know, 5 reps with a 4 second lower, blah, blah, blah. You got all the specifics around there. And then it's like, okay, I'm going to build in 2 or 3 minutes of transition time. And then I'm going to start this accessory work that's, you know, every 90 seconds, I'm going to do 8 Bulgarian split squats, alternating legs each time, do that for 8 sets. So for each leg, and then I'm going to go into, maybe like, okay, let's do some extended air bike stuff. So I'll go like 5 rounds, you know, 30 seconds easy, 30 seconds moderate, 30 seconds hard, 30 seconds rest or something. Right. And again, I know how much time that's going to take. 2 minute flush, 1 minute couch stretch or side, and my session's done. Yeah. Something along those lines.
Right.
Another example I had, okay, this is a real example now. October 30th, this was in the morning, from 0 to 10 minutes on the clock was a 70-calorie air bike and then shuttle runs in the remaining time, and that was at a warm-up pace. And then I had, you know, as much transition time as I needed, which was really only like 2-3 minutes, and then it was EMOM 10, 20 double unders into 3 reps per side of a toe drag step-up. And then immediately into EMOM 10, 3 box clear overs, 24 inches, and 3 L pull-ups on the same minute, which is like strength quality focused work. Whereas like the double under toe drag step up was just like prep work and like knee health. And then immediately into burpee box jump overs, 6 sets of 15 reps to 30 inches, rest 90 seconds between, which was like energy systems training, like sport specific stuff, because I was doing a competition that had a bunch of those in it. So yeah, that's like sort of my go-to.
Yeah. And I would think that's pretty good. Pretty detailed.
Word salad, right?
Yeah.
There,
yeah. And I would say like mine is similar to that, where it's like, I do like timestamps and like intervals, like every 2 minutes, every minute, every 3 minutes, whatever it is. My warm-ups tend to be pretty much the same for like every lower body focused day, upper body focused, or full body day. So I already know how long that's going to take. And I usually keep it pretty consistent from time to time because I know where I'm usually stiff. I usually know what mobility issues I have and what to, how to address it and all that stuff. So
can I interrupt you quick?
Huh?
Can I interrupt you quick?
Yeah.
Are you somebody that like when you're programming for athletes, do you typically give them very similar warm-ups most of the time? Like, do they change much or are they pretty static depending on what the movement is coming up?
For the specific athlete, they're pretty similar from time to time. And then I'll have like maybe like a really short EMOM as like a movement prep for.
Gotcha.
So, but like, so there's like two parts of the warm-up. One that's like a standardized, like, hey, this is like an upper body type stuff for like snatching. And then like an EMOM or AMRAP or like, hey, in 10 minutes or whatever, do three rounds of these three movement prep stuff, and then we get into the work.
Yeah, I feel like there's some athletes who like really enjoy the variety, and there's other people who are like, I don't want to have to think about my warm-up every time because I got enough stuff I got to think about.
Right. So like for me personally, I like to have that routine standardization, but that's just how I think
more athletes are that way.
Yeah,
where they at least for the warm-up. Okay, obviously they're doing CrossFit, so we're like, you know, for those athletes, they like having the variety.
Yeah.
If you're in weightlifting or something else, it's like, it's already repetitive, so like, suck it up.
Right.
But for the CrossFit athletes, a lot of them like the structure, but some of them like that, like rotating varieties. It's just interesting.
Yeah. So I usually keep it on the more standardized part. I do have like, for example, I have one athlete specifically who does like variety. So like for them, I put in variety and I try to keep it less standardized than what, how I normally do. And I know what to expect. And like, so I know like 10, 15 minutes, this is what I'm going to do. I usually feel good after that. I'm ready for my squats, my whatever. Mm-hmm. When I do my strength work, so right now I'm not like doing any CrossFit. So I've taken a little hiatus from that for just a little bit. So it's more like a hybrid style train of like running and strength work. And for my strength work, everything is pretty much like on the 2-3 minutes or depending on the load and all that stuff. So I usually keep that pretty standardized. And that's like, I already know how long that's going to take. And then accessories, same thing. I like to do strength work ideally in the afternoon and my like running in the morning because I feel like I could do
the way so I too. Am too.
Yeah.
Do you feel like it's just like it's easier to get in a position and have them be comfortable in the afternoon?
Yeah. I just feel like my body's more like prepped neurologically for that in the afternoon. If I know I'm squatting heavy, like I don't want to be squatting heavy. And like a lot of times like I have to be at work at 5, right? So 5 a.m. And so if I try to do work in the morning, like I could go on an early run at like 4 a.m. or something like that, right? I work at a gym, so I just go there. I don't have to like travel much, right? And it's pretty close to home. So I go there, whatever, I do my zone 2 work, and then I'm ready for whoever's coming in. But like, I don't want to be squatting heavy at 4 a.m. or something like that. Like, it's just, I cannot do it. Like, it's my hips hurt. Like, my knees are naggy. Like, I'm not.
Yeah, it sounds like we're very similar because, like, I'm that way where it's, like, it's much easier for me. And not everybody is this way because I think it's a little bit like your essence. If you're someone who is much more biased towards power, you might, like, roll out of bed and, like, literally the last thing you want to do is sit on an erg.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, that's kind of the only thing I want to do sometimes.
Yeah.
So it's, like when I'm cold, literally cold, getting out of bed and, like, my body temperature is low, it's, like, especially if I'm walking out to my cold garage, it's, like, the thing I want to do first is, like, spend – like 10 to 15 minutes of, even if it has some like body weight or like other elements. So like I have to spend at least some time on an erg or like a machine just to get a little bit of more blood flow, like to have a chance to like elevate my body temperature, like get warm, get the joints getting to be lubricated better. And like, then it's like, if I have other strength work, again, it's like easy aerobic work where it's not going to be taxing, where it makes me tired for my strength work. And then if it's conditioning, it's like then I'm like more primed and like have a lot more blood flow and the things that I need to be successful in that too. So I feel like regardless, at least for me, like when I'm getting started in like those time constrained sessions, it makes it just like a little bit easier for me to just get started if I'm doing that sort of thing.
Right. I agree. And like, I know before I used to do a lot of strength work in the morning like that. And I still sometimes do it with like upper body stuff because it's just less demanding.
Yeah.
But when it comes to lower body and all that, yeah, I need like the time throughout the day to like warm up for that.
Yep.
And like, if I'm asked to do like a 40 minute like easy run in the morning, like I can do that. Like if I warm up my knees and all that stuff and just do a proper warm up and progress to it, like that's no issue. It's less demanding on the whole body.
Do you feel like your warm-ups are shorter in the afternoon?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Like if I were to squat in the morning versus the afternoon, my warm-ups are definitely shorter in the afternoon.
Yeah, 100% for me too. Like if I wake up and I go out to like my rower, like literally like 20 minutes after I'm awake, it's just like the last thing I feel like doing is like pulling hard right away.
Yeah.
Whereas like sometimes in the afternoon I'll walk out here and like I'll just start rowing and like I'm only rowing at like 1300 calories an hour. I'm like, whoa, like what?
Yeah.
Okay, calm down, Ben.
Yeah.
We're warming up here. We don't need to do that. But like that just like wouldn't happen in the morning.
Yeah.
So like there's definitely something like at least sounds like for both of us that like neurologically. And again, even if it's not the same day, time of day for other people listening, I think understanding that like you're gonna have a time of day where like neurologically, joint-wise, you just feel better.
Yeah.
So it probably makes sense for you to put, like, your priority stuff there.
Yeah, for sure.
And for both of us, that's, like, strength work.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. Other tips that you got for people? Trying to think of anything else we didn't cover.
Check your schedule. Have timestamps and EMOMs. I think that's it.
I mean, I think that's a really good start.
Yeah.
I think most people don't do the basics. And, like, if you start with the basics, like, you're going to set yourself up for success.
Right, for sure. And that's the thing.
And then hire Day.
Yeah. Yeah, hire me. I swear. I'm nice.
We'll leave there. If you got questions, let us know.
Yeah.
Reach out to her.
Yes.
What's your Instagram handle?
Dayanara.munoz. Full name with a period in between.
You got it.
Yeah.
Reach out to her. She'll answer your questions for you.
Cool.
Thanks for listening today. If you're someone who just started listening to the show, I would encourage you to subscribe so you can stay up to date. If you're someone who's been listening for a while, I would encourage you to rate and review the show. And lastly, the best thing that you can do to support our work is also the best thing that you can do for your performance. And that is by hiring one of our coaches. Until next time, stay the course.